up happier than ever? No way. He doesn't get to win.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
The census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Gina! But I don't care, darling, because I love you.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains. I can feel myself rot.
Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Wheel in.
Out with friends?
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother. Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussion Show, a place for discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is the Witch of the North!
I don't know what I'm doing. This is Eric. Happy Halloween.
Hey, all right. Yeah, for folks who are curious, we are recording this on October 28th, 2021. Because some of our listeners, like Pam, are always curious because sometimes we don't release the episodes immediately after. And actually, this one will be released probably in 4 weeks because we have a bunch of films already set up to be dropped each Friday for the next 3 to 4 weeks. And in the state of New York.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how's it going?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
Doing all right. I'm doing all right. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how's it going, sir?
Good. Evil Barrett is doing well.
Exactly. Evil Barrett. and in also a possibility of joining us will be Kevin Letts of Missouri, but some issues are occurring, so he may not be able to join us, but he may join us late. He was supposed to join us tonight, but due to some circumstances. But he did give me a synopsis of his opinion of the film when we do our synopsises of what we think of the movie.
Synopsis?
Exactly. Or synopi, like octopi.
Yes.
Anyway.
Nice.
Anyway. Exactly. Everybody's silly tonight. Barrett is Evil Barrett. I'm talking about Sinapa, and Eric is the Witch of the North, and Mike is just Mike.
But anyway, I like Sinapa.
That was good. That was good.
Sinapa? Right.
Sinapa.
Anyway, for folks who have just joined us for the first time ever, we are Dark Discussions Podcast, one of the podcasts on the Dark Discussions News Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. It is the longest running in the network for over 10 years and three quarters. It is available wherever podcasts are found, as well as on the website itself. And the website includes all sorts of things, such as news and articles and stuff, and folks can go check it out if they want. Also, Eric, what else can they find on darkdiscussions.com?
Well, they can find links to our Patreon account. Patreon is a service that allows you to financially contribute to your online artists. Like us, producing this show is not free. We have to pay for things like web hosting and file servers and computer equipment and renting movies and so on and so forth. So if you would like to help offset the cost of producing this show, that's how you can go do it. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. For every $5 a month that you care to contribute, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do a show on. We take all the submissions from our patrons and draw one at random on a quarterly basis. So any and all contributions are definitely appreciated. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or click on the Patreon badge on every page of darkdiscussions.com.
Right, that's right. And we actually did just pick out a new movie to add to the list of Patreon picks, and that movie was called Bad Moon, starring Mario Hemingway, a midnight movie from a couple of decades ago. And I've heard good things about it. It's about werewolves. So we'll be getting to that sooner or later. Also, we may have some news in what we've been watching, but we'll get into that after our discussion on our movie tonight. And with that, I think we can get into our discussion.
Well, yes, if I can, I know I'm joining. I joined a little late, but I'm guessing you probably didn't discuss that. Since you mentioned the Dark Discussions podcast is the longest running in the Dark Discussions podcast network, we should point out, I think, that there has been some news, because Dark Discussions has an origin story, which is that the hosts were brought together by a podcast called Horror Etc., the late lamented podcast from up north.
Yes.
And it was recently announced by Anthony D.P. Mann, one of the two regular co-hosts of the Horror Etc. podcast. They are coming back starting Halloween.
Yes. It is only on Patreon, so you'll have to find them there.
It is only on Patreon, but if you would like, I think I just want to put that out there as because they are what inadvertently, accidentally, unintentionally, like dropping the bomb, unleashing Godzilla upon the world, got the Dark Discussions podcast and then eventually the Dark Discussion podcast network going. It is all their fault. And if you would like to either credit them or blame them, I would like to recommend people go give them a shot if you can at some point, just to show our thanks for them. And I just want to throw that out there.
All right. Sounds very, very good. All right. So with that stated, Eric, what are we going to discuss tonight?
Tonight, we are going to be discussing the movie that is currently in theaters. And I forget which service it's on.
Peacock.
Is it Peacock? Okay. Also on the Peacock streaming service, Halloween Kills.
Now, that's right. I just want to be clear. Is this on the paid Peacock or the free Peacock?
Paid Peacock.
Paid Peacock. Okay. That's what I figured. Because I have free Peacock. I don't have paid Peacock.
I didn't think I'd ever say, but okay.
Hey, what are you guys doing out here?
It's Halloween. We've been trick-or-treating.
Are you alone?
There's a creepy man in a white mask.
Where?
And he keeps, like, trying to play hide-and-seek with us.
Where did you see him? Look!
Run! Go home now!
Unlock the door!
Stop!
Come on!
Michael.
My grandmother set the fire.
No one told you.
You told me what?
Michael Myers is alive.
A man couldn't have survived that fire. Forty years ago, the boogeyman came for us. We are the survivors of Michael Myers.
Lori, what do we do?
We fight.
Mom, our family.
We'll kill him.
We're going to hunt him down and we're going to put an end to this.
He is not going to stop killing until we stop him.
If you track Michael's victims, that's a straight line to Michael's childhood home.
Someone's in our house.
He is coming for me. But I'm coming for him.
That's right. Halloween Kills is a 2021 slasher film. It's a sequel to a film called Halloween from a couple years ago.
Which itself is a sequel to a film called Halloween.
That's right. So it's part of the Halloween film universe franchise, which started with John Carpenter's 1978.
Now, is only Halloween in the canon, or is Halloween 2 in the canon?
I think we have to say it's not the Halloween universe. It is the Halloween multiverse, I think, is really where we are now.
I think they
actually got a head start on the cinematic multiverse.
Yeah, that's fair. So this film here is was originally supposed to be released last year in 2020, but due to the pandemic of COVID, it was pushed back to this year. It is the center film of what's supposed to be a 3-film series directed by David Gordon Green, written by Scott Teams, Danny McBride, and David Gordon Green. Characters obviously based off of John Carpenter and the late Deborah Hill. The film stars... and I'll just read the order that's here, even though screen time may be a little different. Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, Andy Matichak, Will Patton, Thomas Mann, Anthony Michael Hall, and of course, the great Kyle Richards, who actually reprises her role from the 1978 film. I guess we can get into how we heard about this film and what we thought about this film. And so let's start with you, Mike.
We reviewed Halloween.
The 2019 film.
We reviewed that on the podcast, and because that made what they referred to as bucket loads of money, we pretty much knew the sequel was coming. And by the way, I'm going out on a limb here. This might be a spoiler warning. If Halloween ends, the third part makes bucket loads of money, it may no longer end up being a trilogy. Just a thought. But, I actually watched this. My wife and I took a weekend trip to Salem a couple of weeks ago. I know, very basic touristy thing. Nevertheless,
Salem, New Hampshire?
Yes. What? In Salem, Massachusetts.
I know, I was just being facetious. Salem, New Hampshire used to be known for racing. But, Salem, Massachusetts. Go on, Mike. Continue. Sorry.
And we were really exhausted on our second day. We had a couple of hours to kill before... our next event happened for a witch trial, and a nighttime walk. And, the problem is we didn't want to leave and go back to the hotel and come back because A, parking is really hard to find, and B, it would just going to cost us $30 to park again. So we just went to the local theater and watched, we actually caught a double bill of, we watched Bride of Frankenstein first and then watched Halloween Kills.
Mike, what town did you stay in, since Salem you can't get hotels in?
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Continue, please.
A town near Salem.
Okay.
Carlisle, maybe?
No, it wasn't Carlisle. There's no hotels in Carlisle. That's a wealthy town, and it's closer to me. But anyway, continue.
Ooh, well, aren't we fancy? Look, I liked the film. I had fun with it. Yes, it's full of stupid. It's also a slasher film. It leans heavily into being a slasher film. It picks up a lot of story elements from the previous Halloween film that I complained, well, I don't know if I complained about, but I certainly pointed out in that changed the sort of the character of Michael that was different from how he was originally portrayed in the original Halloween film. And they kind of carried that through. And there is still, yes, there's some stupid stuff in here. I actually think the story itself as a plot holds together better than the plot of the 2019 or 2018 Halloween, which had some really stupid stuff in it, mostly the doctor. It was well executed. That movie may have been better executed in some ways. This one is a bit messier, but it didn't have these ridiculous, I think, plot holes quite the same way. It has ridiculous plot holes. It's a slasher film. I had fun with it. I enjoyed it. I actually went back to watch it again two nights ago because as a AMC A-list member, I can see 3 movies a week, and I felt like going out to a movie, so I went to rewatch that. And because I wanted to make sure I was, because I'd heard really, because there was so much divisiveness about this, I kind of wanted to put my head in a different frame of mind and see if I could understand the complaints. And yeah, I don't really see the complaints. I mean, I hear people, I think someone had made a phrase like, this isn't like any other Michael Myers movie. The writing is bad, the acting is bad, the directing is bad.
What?
What?
That's stupid. I can think of at least 3 where that's pretty much the universal opinion of the whatever 11 Michael Myers films in the Halloween
that's
franchise.
Kind of the point of them in some way.
I don't know that. I think the original is separate from the rest. Yeah. And we're going to put that aside, but that happens with a lot of things. And I've always said this, with sequels and remakes, I kind of put the original aside, and it's like, how does it stand up with the rest of the canon? And in this case, I don't think it's that bad. I think it's fun. I enjoyed it. There were some good kills in it. Yes, there's stupid stuff in it, and we'll talk about that.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, for me, as Mike said, we reviewed the 2019 film, so it was be expected that Dark Discussions podcast would review the follow-up. So I watched it on Sunday night, I think it was, on my iPhone, actually, because I was watching it in bed, and it was on Peacock. So I watched it.
Oh, my
on
God.
Watched it in bed on his phone with his Peacock.
Indeed.
Just check.
And my dog next to me. I watched it there, and it was okay. I'm not really have seen any of the Michael Myers films except for the original. I did see part two last year as a guest host for the Cut to the Chase podcast to talk about that film, and that was pretty decent. I did see Halloween 3 just for curiosity, and that's good. But again, that really doesn't count because it's not really a Michael Myers film. And then I did see the two Rob Zombie films. I haven't seen any of the sequels or anything like that. So Michael Myers, to me, I really can't speak how this one compares to most of the rest. However, this one here was okay. I wasn't great. It wasn't horrible, but I enjoyed myself watching it. It was always good seeing Paris Hilton's aunt, Kyle Richards, and actually replaying the same character she played when she was 8 years old or 9 years old in 1978. So that was kind of cool, especially since my wife watches her on those Hollywood LA wife reality shows, whatever they call them. It was also good to see Anthony Michael Hall. It was all right. That's all I got. It's all right. I didn't like it as much at first, but in this new series, but it was all right. Let's go with you, Eric.
I also thought it was all right. I think that people who like gore will be pleased with this movie. There's some good gore in it. I thought Michael's kills in this movie had an extra level of cruelty that I haven't seen before. When I think about that, that might be just a feeling rather than actuality. But I felt that it was more violent somehow in this movie than previously, and didn't have any problem with Michael. He was awesome. I did have some issues with the story. We'll get into that post-spoiler. I have a bigger issue with the things that don't make sense than Mike does. But other than that, I mean, I thought everybody in the movie was fine. They did some flashbacks that kind of retcon some stuff into the original 1978 timeline, which I didn't particularly think added a whole lot to the story or were necessary at all or did anything except make the movie longer. So I didn't care for that aspect of it, but overall it's a decent slasher.
All right. Sounds good. Bert.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed this movie a bit for some of its kills were just really, interesting, fun, and like Eric said, it did seem like there was a little bit of just Michael trying to do some torturing almost in this, and torture like people that weren't getting hurt by hurting the people that they loved. I was disappointed in the franchise ending. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I thought that it kind of detracted from the message that it was trying to give out in the other part of the film, in most of the other part of the film. I know they probably had to do it, but I didn't like it, and that kind of ruined the movie for me.
All right, sounds good. So, Eric, do we have a IMDb wiki?
Wiki. The saga of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode continues in the next thrilling chapter of the Halloween series. Wow, well, that was completely nondescriptive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
well, pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah,
same time, right?
Yep.
It's not like someone saying, you know, I've really been skipping out on the first 11 entries into this franchise, but you know, that Wikipedia entry really has me curious.
Indeed. So the film gets about 39% good reviews by critics on Rotten Tomatoes, so what we would call a Rotten Tomato, and it gets 68% good reviews by fans. So again, we have another film where critics and fans are way off.
Well, but even 60% among fans who you expect to be forgiving. What was that?
68.
It's still not great. That is getting close. Usually 60% is rotten. So, and
well, what I was going to add was, even with that 68%, which is still much bigger than the critics, based off of the folks that we see on social media and interact with, it's a good 50-50%, I would say, either hate it or love it. I assume that's where you're getting at, right, Mike?
Well, yeah, but also remember, this is a self-selected audience. Critics are – they're not the mass audience, but they're a random audience, meaning that it's not just Halloween fans going to see that. The audiences that are going to see Halloween are people who are deliberately going to see a scary movie, whereas a critic is just a guy going to his job. And
or
so
woman.
If, or man or woman. So if all you can get is a 68% rating among the fans, it's not necessarily a great thing. It's not like, you know, what did the last one have? I'm guessing probably 80%?
Probably.
Something like that? Just would be my guess.
Yeah, that one was well-liked.
And there's some things that I really don't know how to respond to some of the criticisms, because it's a slasher movie. If you've seen entries of this genre, there's a lot of silly plot elements in almost all of them. You know, at least all of the once you get past,
doesn't mean they're not silly.
No, it doesn't mean they're not silly. But it's like,
I was gonna say, this was a slasher film, but I felt like they were trying to also give a message too.
And I don't mind that. I thought it was an interesting idea.
I don't mind
idea.
It at all. Yeah.
I have questions about their execution.
Yeah.
About the fact that I still don't know who was the star of this movie. You can't even say that it was Michael, because he's absent for a large chunk of the film. I think they could have done things with it, that they could have done an anthology out of it and done like little vignettes of what's happening in the aftermath of the Laurie Strode burning down the house on the first film, and done it in like little segments like that. Maybe that would have worked, but they have this like mishmash of these things that I think are, to me, badly edited together, that really does not give a great flow to the story. And
not
I don't
all.
Know who to follow. I don't know if that's the fault of the editor, because the editor can only work with what he's been given. And
it's an ensemble cast.
It is an ensemble cast, but you know, I've seen.
Well.
Now, look, I've seen. This is maybe unfair, but Robert Altman's Shortcuts, which was something like 22 characters and multiple plot lines all interweaving together, which is a masterpiece of a film. If anyone's interested in seeing that, you can't expect that out of a slasher movie. But maybe you shouldn't try
Well, that's the thing. This is your opinion, which is a fair opinion. And a lot of folks, it appears, like Barrett, agree with you. And I'm sure many people in the critics and even audience. So I didn't find that as an issue at all myself. I felt the ensemble cast was fine. Again, you're right. It was hard to determine who was the lead character. But it was very vignette. Vignette, is that the word?
Yeah.
That part doesn't necessarily bother me that it's ensemble. It just felt muddled. Like, it felt as mob-like as the scene in the movie. You know, the scenes cut together to me like that scene, that whole scene.
Let me give you an example of an issue with Mike's declaration that it's just a slasher, so you shouldn't have any expectations for it.
I didn't say you shouldn't have any expectations, but they're criticisms from people that are making it sound like they've never seen a slasher before.
Well, here's the thing, though. How do I phrase what I'm thinking? A lot of slashers going back to the 80s and the 70s were made on very low budgets. And yeah. You can tell. I think the bar gets raised when you're dealing with a Hollywood production like this, and you have the resources that were available to them. Maybe COVID kicks some sand in everybody's eyes as far as the production process. I can see that happening. But I think the expectation should be a little bit higher for something with a budget like this and a cast like this and a crew like this. They're all very, very, very talented people. And I think the end product is still a little bit of a mess. And that was my disappointment.
Yeah, there is a mess. And like with the ensemble, I don't mind an ensemble cast, but an ensemble cast, there should still be clear plot lines that you follow through. And I'll give you an example. Sheriff Hackett, is it? Or Deputy
Hawkins.
Hawkins. Deputy Hawkins. Hawkins, we find, who has been, we thought, killed from the last film, but in sequel gets a rejuvenating case of sequelitis. And you know, as you know, in a sequel, a person can come back to life by simply gasping. And he's found alive by the character that just mysteriously vanished in the middle of the last film, which was the granddaughter's boyfriend. And he makes the declaration that Michael Myers has to be killed and he's going to be the one to do it. And then he spends the rest of the movie laying in a hospital bed. Now, when you,
well, hang on, Mike. Let's wait till we're after the spoiler flag. You definitely got some valid points here, but I think we're about to give away plot points. So maybe we should just steer to the left for a bit.
But my point simply being that they set up a plot point and then ignore the plot point.
Okay. Now, all right, well, we'll get into all that in spoiler territory, but let's just talk about slashes in general. First of all, I know slashes are known as B-movie rubbish in some cases, or just B-movie silliness. But again, Eric has a good point too, which is a Hollywood film has a different standard. Plus, a slasher film, that doesn't necessarily mean B-movie, except to, you know, certain critics and fans and whatnot. So if you take each individual film separately, slasher or otherwise, you know, you can still look at it and not have to say, well, since it's a slasher, it should have these flaws or it should have these body counts or whatever. So I don't necessarily agree in that case. If I did have issues with the film, it has nothing to do with it being a slasher film. It would have to be with, I guess, the script itself. And yeah, some of it, as we've discussed, where certain characters are locked away in basically a room for the whole film. And then obviously the message is there and a certain other things. And I think that is itself what determines the film and not necessarily because, quote unquote, it's a slasher film.
Yeah, but I never get the sense that anyone involved in the last film or this film, they were making these movies as fans of the genre.
Franchise.
What's that?
And as fans of the franchise.
And as fans of the franchise. But I never got the sense that they were trying to elevate the genre of the franchise.
I disagree.
I disagree too.
And I never got the sense, I mean, and a lot of the criticisms I'm seeing, and maybe they're not the same criticisms you're saying, these are basically people criticizing this movie as not being as good as previous Halloween films that have the same, if not worse, of the same sins.
Well, there's a few characters in this film here, and in the first film in this new franchise, where you think they're the lead characters or going to be important characters, and they get killed off pretty quick. And since the other one is 3 years old now, and we already reviewed it, I'll bring up those characters, you know, spoiler or not. The podcasters, right? They seem like they're going to be important characters in the first film, and they get wiped out pretty quick, and it was kind of interesting. Here, they do it again with another couple, and I'll bring that up, what that couple is, after we get into the spoiler territories. And so that was kind of shocking in a sense, too. So I don't know if they aren't trying to do different things. They're I don't know. But Eric, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I disagree with Mike. I think these are trying to elevate the genre, and like the 2018 one, they were riding the Me Too wave, right? And there was all girl power, right? The female Strodes kicking ass and taking out Michael, and I think they did a pretty good job with it. This movie, I think they're trying to hammer on a different theme, and
yep.
While I appreciate the attempt, I don't think they executed nearly as well as they did in the last one on the elevation attempt. So to your point about it being a silly slasher, yes, I get your point. I get the point you're making, but they're also trying to elevate it to modern standards with current social issues, and I think in this movie they didn't do it as good a job as in the last movie.
But it doesn't take much to jump onto a social issue to have a kick-ass female character. I mean, you look at the Resident Evil franchise. It doesn't take much.
But you understand the point I'm making, right?
No, I understand the point you're making, but I'm saying a lot of films do that. They just do it in a ham-fisted way, and I don't know that this is any different.
But in Eric's point with the first film, Me Too or Not, they made Michael Myers into a real villain in that film. And when I was watching that film, I was like, I didn't even care if it was Laurie or her daughter or her granddaughter or if it was the cops. I just wanted them to kill that motherfucker, Michael Myers, because I hated that film. I hated him because he was supposed to be evil and you're supposed to hate him. And that was a good thing. And this one, I was more indifferent to him. I mean, I didn't like how he was killing off characters from the original film necessarily. But I didn't blame him. I blame the screenwriters for that more. So this film here, I didn't have the anger, and you know, basically evil dies tonight. That was perfect for the first film because I want him dead. But in this one here, it just didn't really work for me as well. Barrett, you were adding something.
I was just going to say, I understand that, but I think he was just as evil in this one, if not more, than in the one before it. I mean, he was doing some things
heinous. Nasty in this movie.
Yeah, he was like purposely, hey, look at what I'm doing.
It was 16 deaths before that last 5 minutes, and so you can add another four or five after that. So this is a crazy body count. And that's another thing about this film that I don't like as much as, say, the original. I mean, when you have that many people die in one night, you know that's going to be a national news story. You know, huge news story. That'll be a world news story. And so all those things always pop up in my mind when I'm watching these huge body count films is like, yeah, but the aftermath, this doesn't happen. But
they could skip the aftermath because we never make it to the next morning.
Right. Yeah,
that's true. But I think that's another point that I would bring up is that this has, I believe, the highest body count out of any film in the franchise. And the original, the body count was four.
Like four? Yeah.
Because there were three killed on Halloween 1978 and the sisters killed in 1963. Right. So that's four people. And they talk about how, you know, the town is traumatized, all of which is coming from what they talked about in the previous entry. And I remember
the dog. They killed the dog.
And the dog. And we talked about that, I think, when we discussed that film, is that it was three people 35 years ago, and it's still haunting this town. It's like there's way more worse things that have happened since then in real life. And then it seemed like it was a little bit much for the ghost of Michael Myers that they had like erased the legacy of Michael Myers and yet wanted that legacy to still hang over the town, which felt like a weird choice. And the way that Michael Myers kind of moves through the town, just killing anyone he comes across except for an infant in the last film, it felt so much more Jason Voorhees than Michael Myers. And, or at least, again, assuming you're going back to, which is what they seem to want to do by erasing the muddled history of Michael Myers, you know, by going back to the original, who killed three people and didn't kill every person he came across. He did a lot of hiding, stalking, following, creepy stuff, you know, just he was a weirdo. He was a creep. And then when he got you alone, he killed you. But he wasn't just randomly walking into a house, kill this person, walking to the next house, kill that person, walking to the next house, kill that person. That just feels different. And it's now that's and people I saw criticizing this film for that. But that's what they did in the last movie, too.
Well, they talk about it in the last movie where the one guy is like, hey, he only killed three people.
Yeah, by modern
not a big deal.
Not that bad. Yeah.
Exactly. So I thought I kind of felt like that was on purpose.
Yep.
Yeah, but I agree with Mike in a sense, too. I mean, that's what was great about the first film was, you know, he would walk up to people bump into him, and he would just ignore them. And the film was more of a thriller and a psychological horror film more than, you know, the gore and blood. And again, that's fine. But yeah, I guess, you know, I'm not as familiar with the franchise as everybody else. So I just remember the first film, and that film was awesome.
Well, and
so,
for the purpose of reviewing these new movies, that's all you need, because they pick up after the end of the first movie.
After it, yep.
Right.
Yeah,
this
to turn him into the psychopath that's killed, what, 40 people in two films, I think, or pretty close to that, it's just bizarre. But anyway, go on, Mike.
Yeah, let's remember, this is a franchise that restarted itself now four times. It restarted itself with Halloween 3. Immediately had to reverse that and restarted itself with Halloween 4, then restarted itself with the seventh film, Halloween H2O, then restarted itself with a remake, so that's 4, and now we're so actually take it back. Halloween 2018 was the fifth reboot of this franchise.
Right.
Out of a 12-movie franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, so it's a mess.
I don't have a problem with a killer who evolves from killing three people to he's locked away for 20 years, 40. And now his pent-up rage, or 40, whatever, his pent-up rage is causing him to just kill a crap load of people. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm not saying I have a problem with it, but there was a complaint that people had.
Yeah. Well, it was
a complaint people had about this film, but it's like, but that was, to me, I don't have a complaint about that in this film, because this is what they did in the last film, and it's continuing that.
Yep,
but exactly. Again, though, the complaint, I don't think, is because of the body count. I think the complaint is, it's because it's Michael Myers, right? You know, because
everyone. I think it's people's
from 1978.
People's expectations of what they want Michael Myers to be, but like Mike always says, this is the film we got, not the film we wanted to make. So,
and I don't think there's any way to make a 90-minute movie in which you kill 20 people and have Michael Myers being the shadowy stalker guy from the first film.
Right.
So it's. And I get people not liking the direction they chose to go with it in this timeline, this branch of the Michael Myers multiverse. But it's established. This is the way they're going with it. You're either with it or you're not. I'm fine with it because it's not like continuity really matters a lot in these movies. Anyway.
Right. And as Barrett just said, it's the film that they made, not the film that we wanted necessarily. So we have to judge it as is, not based off of what we want, but what we see.
But like Mike said, as the kill count is just like the first one. I mean, it's not, you know, there's more, but it's
crazy. Yeah. I mean, we're talking close to 40 people dead in two films, which is literally one night.
That's
literally 12 hours, 40 people are dead. It's just like insane.
But not everybody's from him either.
That's friggin' Sandy Hook and Columbine. That's not. A serial killer in one night in 12 days.
I think it would have been neat if they'd done like news reports at the very end of the credits.
I mean, he's a spree killer. He's not even a friggin' serial killer. He's just like nuts.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, and this will definitely, I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that they've, that it's not Michael Myers, that is like Michael Myers is, and I was actually just watching an interview last night with John Carpenter, you know, where Michael Myers is supposed to be a force of nature. He's barely human. He's supposed to be, you know, just, you know, a thing that kills to kill.
And this film,
but I would If it was, I could almost see, like, if you look at, like, the, I was going to say, if you look at the shoot, the, like, the, a lot of the spree killers or mass shooters that you see now, they deliberately try to one-up, you know, they're like, they'll Klebold and Harris, oh, we got to do better than Columbine, we got to do better than that, I'm going to be bigger than they are, it's a competition. So if Michael Myers was a character with more personality, a something maybe closer to Freddy Krueger, or maybe the guys, one of the random murderers that have we've had in the Scream franchise, it would almost make sense that he's getting out and he's going, all right, fuck it. You know, I had three. That's not good enough anymore. I got to go fucking nuts. But this Michael Myers, I'm pretty sure, was never like checking, you know, the interwebs to find out who his competition was.
Yeah. I don't think he had time for that.
Well, he did. He was in the duty bin for 40
a computer.
Well, I don't know how much. I don't know how much his basket weaving schedule ate up his day.
But this isn't. We need to talk about Kevin. Where in at least in the book, he researched all the school killers and he says, "All right, I'm going to up every one of them." And you know, and the author Lionel Shriver actually lists these, you know, and the real cases, and you know she mentions Columbine and all the rest, and here that none of that is mentioned.
No. I'm saying I could see them using that as an excuse if they wanted to, except the problem that doesn't come anywhere close to working when you have Michael Myers as your antagonist.
Right.
Nope. Right.
I could see like Freddy Krueger doing that. Totally could do that. Jason Voorhees doing that? No. Michael Myers, no. Leatherface, no.
All right. Let's take some time to throw up the spoiler flag. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, folks who are new to the podcast, or if you aren't, Dark Discussions is a podcast that doesn't just review films. We critique and dissect. So, at this point, we're going to throw up a spoiler alert. And from this point on, we will discuss everything and anything that fits our fancy and dissect specific scenes, which will include spoilers. So you have been warned. So, all right, Eric, there we go. What do we got?
All right. So the plot elements I had issue with, and all of my issues with this movie are plot driven. I thought everybody was fine in the movie. But my first issue with the movie is that, like, Jamie Lee Curtis is in a hospital gown for the whole fucking movie.
And you didn't see her ass? Is that the problem?
Well, no. It's just, she's sitting around whining the whole night, and she's she's not kicking ass anymore, and that's not what I wanted to see. So given that she had a gut wound, I get it. But I thought it was a weird choice, because there are certainly other movies that we've seen. Prometheus. Prometheus sustained a gut wound and just got kind of kept on running.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask if you would have been happier if she got up and was running away from a rolling spaceship.
I'm actually glad they didn't have her do that, because that would have been stupid, like it was in Prometheus. However, Eric's point is great, which is maybe they should have waited a week and, you know, say it was a week later.
Get herself up because her stomach muscles are cut.
Why does it have to be the same night? It could have been a week later, you know, or something. And then she could have been around.
I have an answer to your question, Phil, which is that they had to show how he survived the burning house.
Right. But he could have stopped the burning house and just disappeared into the forest for a week.
But it was all happening on October 31st. That's
Or a year later or something. I like the idea that they chose this because I know, Eric, you don't like trailers, but I think they made it very clear that this was a continuation of that same night. And so I was expecting her to basically spend the night in the hospital, kind of like Halloween 2. And they did establish again in the last film, he doesn't give a fuck about her. She was just in the way. That connect, which again was an issue that we talked about the last time, which is Halloween 2 gave him a motivation, and that kind of changed the character from the first film, and that's why they ignored Halloween 2, and even in the reboot.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I don't agree. In the original Halloween, he fixates on Laurie and her friends, and he stalks them exclusively, right?
Probably, but that may be because she came to the house.
Maybe.
So the thing it may have been the house that he was fixating on, but it wasn't a special motivation, right? It was just whatever reason he fixated on this person who came.
But he was fixated. Whereas in this series of movies, he is not. He's killing anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Well, we don't even know if he would recognize her, because it has been 40 years. But anyway. But my point being is that they changed by making them brother and sister. They changed the character's motivation.
Yes, that's true.
That they, as opposed to him just being a relentless, again, elemental, primal evil, he was an evil with a weird sister fetish. And that became a family fetish for, you know, the next three or four films five films in the franchise.
And I guess the point I was trying to make is that maybe without that, it's not a family fetish, but it was still a fetish. He was still fixated on a target.
Well, he might have been, but it may have been just like for that moment. And when he got her, he would have moved on. It didn't have to be her. She just happened to be the one that day who walked up onto his porch while he's hiding in the house. You know, to put the key under the mat.
Annie first.
I don't know. Was she? I think she was with him. She may have said something at him.
She may have been the one who yelled at the car. No, that's my point being that he was going after them specifically. That's all.
All right. And he didn't kill him. I think he's still a very different character than the one we saw in 78. Whether you want to say it's from pent up rage or whatever, I think that's fine. It's just he's being portrayed differently.
Oh, I agree entirely.
And I'm not saying that's good or bad. It is what it is. And it's either don't watch the movies or roll with it. Don't watch it and just to complain about it. Don't hate watch. Hate watching is stupid.
Well, you can watch a movie and hope that it's good and then think it's not.
Yeah,
that
but happens. once you know this is the way they're going with it, and then you have the same people making this movie that made the last one, you know, people who saw the last movie knew where they were going with it in terms of the characterization of Michael Myers. I should be very specific.
All right.
Not necessarily the rest of the story, but then to keep complaining about that thing that they did before. Well, you know they're doing it.
Halloween fans are weird, man.
Oh yeah. Well, any franchise fans are weird.
Some of them get very some of them, if you even mention the name Michael Myers, they get their panties in a bunch. They're like, no, he's the Shape.
Oh, that one I haven't seen, but okay. I'm trying to remember, what did Dr. Loomis call him in the movie? Was it Shape? Did he call him the Shape? No. When in the movie did they call him the Shape? Never.
He's credited as the Shape.
I know. Credited as the Shape, but the characters in the movie called him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the Boogeyman.
Yep.
Or Creep or Weirdo or whatever.
I'm just saying, man.
Yeah, I know. But that happens with any fans of anything. Some fans are just fucking weird.
I have one lighthearted thing to say about this movie. It's the second time this year I've gotten to see someone killed with a fluorescent light. And I loved it.
Oh, I thought there was some break.
I talked about the first movie that you saw that in?
Yes. Yeah.
What the heck was that?
Seance.
That's right.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because I was like, I think this is the first time I've ever seen that. And I'm sure it's been in other films, but it was the first one I've seen it.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, this one too.
So and that's the kind of thing that makes me wonder, like, did that happen to somebody in real life and now they're just like stealing it?
That was the same scene with the fluorescent light bulb. I literally was laughing out loud in the theater because when Michael Myers takes the husband over to the chopping block, grabs one knife out of a block, stabs him with it. Then turns back around to get another knife and stabs with it. And turns back and gets another knife and stabs.
The whole set.
Gotta try them all.
This
is what Mike's talking about, because Michael Myers in the first film was more like the mob, where he just killed you and that's it. Here he was just being gratuitously evil and
overkill.
Yeah.
And well, you know what? That actually, weirdly enough, is, and again, watching it a second time and maybe looking a little bit in the performance, one of my favorite moments in the first film is when Michael kills the one boy, like pins him to the wall.
Yeah.
And then he just stops and you see him like looking at the body like and he tilts his head like a dog trying to figure it out. Right. And so part of me still thinks there's this fucked up little boy who's still like pulling the legs off flies and trying to figure out. And so to me, like when he puts him down, and now he's just like pinning the butterfly down. He's like, well, now what happens if I do this? And what happens if I do this? I did think it was weird that he walks into a kitchen, looks at this woman with her knife, and says, what in this kitchen can I possibly use to kill her?
The light.
I love that.
The knives, the meat tenderizer, the cleaver, put her in a microwave.
I love it.
Let me pull out the floors. I thought it was funny. But it's weird. But again, that's again more leaning into a more true
slasher trope. And then he breaks it like a whiskey bottle to, you know, to use as a stab.
Yeah.
But yeah, right. I mean, if this was the first movie, you know, the John Carpenter film, he probably would have just walked out and not even attacked her.
Right.
But
or he may have, or if he attacked her, he would have used something more obviously at hand. I don't know for sure. I don't know the history of the slasher films, although I watched plenty of them in my younger days. But I think it's probably Friday the 13th that popularized the different weapon for every murder.
Yeah. That was definitely a thing. But what we were talking about earlier, though, I think there is something to be said about the different standards of society in 1978 versus 2021. Because I don't think John Carpenter could have gotten away with making a movie in 1978 where somebody murdered 16 people. Or there were that many deaths in the movie. Because things were a little different in 78 than they are now, right?
I agree.
Well, they were. But if you look at the slasher films that people always forget, like the Italian ones and the Spanish ones from, you know, the mid and early 70s, they had some pretty gruesome kills, like Friday the 13th films. So I don't know, Eric.
And it's talking strict body count, Phil.
Yeah. And really, the body count thing started becoming, I think, like if this was Death Wish, I don't think it would have been a big deal. But I think it became body count started becoming a thing in the slasher
Death
genre.
Wish only had right. six.
Right, it's how many, or Rambo or something like that. It's just how many people did the slasher kill? What's their kill count? Who's got the most kills? The slasher fans for the true slasher films. It was all about the style of the kill, the gruesomeness of the kill. What did they kill him with, and how many kills are there? That's what a lot of those films were just focused on, and everything else kind of took a backseat to that. And now there were some very perfunctory, very quick, unremarkable kills in this film, but there really were some awesome ones. But that is where a lot of the emphasis is in here. Yeah, I
personally really enjoyed his battle with the firefighters.
Well, the firefighters, as you could tell, they were very, very
slow.
Steeply trained in the Hong Kong henchman technique.
Yes.
Of surround and
their
attack
ability.
One at a time.
And I was kind of disappointed that none of them got a hit in. Because I mean, firefighters are pretty badass, man. You gotta be tough to do that job.
Well, they could have been the volunteer firefighters, like in my town, and those people.
Still, though, they were like, all standing there with weapons, watching him approach. You think somebody would at least would have gotten a hit in?
Well, that's the thing about this film is he's become supernatural in this film, right? Because
not according to the filmmakers.
It doesn't make any sense based off of what
I shot him six times. He's not human.
But because he is just a man, and he's not
right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger from 1978. He's just a man.
I disagree. I don't think he's just a man.
Well, that's my point. He's supernatural now. They changed it. Even if the filmmakers say otherwise, that's BS. Because there's no way he is a threat out in the open. Because he could have just been taken out. He's a threat.
Well,
when
that's
he's
one of my big gripes with this movie
and stuff like that. So if he's a threat out in the open, then he's supernatural because there's no way a man without a gun is going to be able to do anything, especially if he's not trained in MMA fightings. So that was where I determined he's supernatural was when he took out the firefighters because there's no way he would have been able to take out any of them.
Well, he took out the firefight. Well, I mean, let's start with shot six times. I didn't notice.
Stabbed in the neck. Stabbed in the chest.
Right.
I gotta ask, what kind of stupid plan to burn down the place, and then he's got a perfect place to hide behind a metal door?
Yeah. I do want to know, I didn't look, I completely forgot, in the last film, Jamie Lee Curtis blew off three of his fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And I completely forgot about that, and I never looked to see if he grew those fingers back.
Nor did I. I'll have to check it out.
Neither did I. Yeah. Huh.
Because, like, I don't Bronze Slasher, the personified by Jason Voorhees, but Jason, at the very least, when he gets axed in the head in part four, every other time he appears, the gash mark is still there from when he gets smacked in the head with the axe. So the wounds still have a mark. There's something there. And I don't, you know, to some degree. And it'd be nice if Michael was just walking around like with Michael Two Fingers now.
Michael Two Fingers.
I don't remember if he lost two or three. He lost a couple of fingers, right? He can still point. I know
Michael
he could,
Two Fingers.
I know he could still point. I know he could still pleasure a woman.
Wow.
But anything beyond that, I don't know.
I think his idea of pleasure is not what theirs is.
But yeah, so I have no idea like what he could do with the right and I think it was his left hand, and Michael, I'm pretty sure, is a righty, so it wouldn't have been that obvious all the time. It's not like that was his knife hand. So I'd be really curious to see if that was a thing. Well, because well, then it, because if he grew the fingers back, then I'm something. Sorry, Supernatural.
Well, that's the thing. He's the same knight, and he lost the fingers, and yet he has no problem still, you know, hanging out there, not bleeding to death and all this other stuff. So he's Supernatural. I'm telling you, he has to be.
I want to go through a timeline of some events. They're not in order, but they're related. And I want you to let me get to the end before we start talking about it. Okay.
No.
So, all right. He does the firefighter thing. Later on, we get that scene in the bar where Tommy Doyle gets up on stage and is like, "I'm Tommy Doyle. Do you know who Michael Myers is?" Everybody's like, "Michael who?" He's like, "Let me tell you the story of Michael Myers." And so apparently everybody in the town has fucking forgotten about Michael Myers. So then they end up at the hospital where a mob of people all of a sudden is in an uproar about Michael Myers and starts chanting, "Evil dies tonight. Evil dies tonight." When a couple hours ago, they didn't even know who the fuck he was. And then they go out to kill him. And they get him, they find him, they knock him down on the ground, stab him a couple times. And they're like, "Yay!" And then he stands up and kills them all because they're fucking stupid.
Yes. Yes.
Double tap. Yeah, well,
that's where I say the movie should have ended after they put him down. If it had ended right there, I would have been okay with their message they were trying to say and the ambiguity of what happened to him.
Well, so to me, it
doesn't mean that they're stupid, because
it absolutely
I would have thought he was dead or incapacitated at that point too. No one
okay,
gets up
hang
that.
On, hang on one sec. Either they don't know who Michael Myers is. They don't remember what happened. So there's no reason for them to be this upset about everything. Or they know who Michael Myers is. They know what he did. They know he was stabbed and shot six times. And it's going to take an extraordinary effort to put this guy down for good. They should
off. I think that's a false dichotomy right there.
Really?
Because you can get a character. First of all, we don't know who the bar people were. A bar on Halloween where you're having a talent competition could bring people from outside the town. There are characters who say afterwards that they hear that story, him tell that story every year, and they all know the story, but he tells it so well.
Okay.
And he's the one that basically says, you know, I know Michael Myers. Have you ever heard of Michael Myers? He's assuming they don't know or telling it as if they don't know. To me, this is the, oh, fuck. This is Al Bundy talking about his four fucking touchdowns again.
Okay.
You know, this is the guy. He had his one moment of glory when he was fucking 8 years old because he bumped into you know, Cher when she was staying at the local motel and he ran into her. And now he's telling the Cher story the rest of his life. He bumped into Michael Myers and now he's going to tell the Michael Myers story. He's going to live off that until he dies.
He didn't just bump into Michael Myers. Remember, Michael Myers attacked his
right. But you get that. And, you know, and that somehow I do think it's interesting. And there's the three of us that were there that night. And the nurse, who is like 20 years older than us, and we just started hanging out with and drinking, and we formed a
social. That was weird.
She was a little bit of a weird inclusion into that group.
That's okay. Her stupid gunfire fails.
I do want to know how that arrangement ended up happening. Like I said, I thought it was silly the way they did that as the town legend, that it was overhanging the town, the curse of minor living. But they established that in the last film. And by the time you get to the hospital, a lot of people are probably at that hospital that night because Michael had killed something like 20 people in the last movie. And it doesn't take much for people to get riled up because they're probably there visiting or looking for their loved ones, or they're dead, or they were injured, or they know something, or they've heard what's happening. And they're perfectly willing to just go, yeah, let's kill people. My problem is that this movie tries to have its cake and eat it too by doing that. It was like, vigilante justice is, of course, the best justice. And then, oops, maybe mobs are a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was trying to say that we become the monster as well when we're,
right.
You know.
And yet that they say, oh, God, we fucked it up. We did something so horrible. We killed a poor innocent man who was in an asylum for the criminally insane. Let's do it again. We could do it better.
Right, exactly. That's where the movie's message is so confused.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, Barrett. But
as a side note,
how the fuck do you mistake that guy for Michael Myers?
Yeah, that made no sense.
If I remember correctly, and I might not, so please feel free to correct me. So they're watching the TV. They talk about the two escaped people.
Uh-huh.
And they show two pictures, one of which is that guy and one of which is Michael Myers, who we can't see because it's blurred out.
Never show his face.
Not to us, but to the people watching it. But the people watching the TV know Michael Myers is one of these two people, and that's one of the two people that was there. And they just may have been thinking that that was Michael Myers because, well, he always wears a mask, which, of course, we know is not true because he wore a mask for two days 40 years ago.
And Tommy is there. Tommy has seen Michael Myers.
Did he?
And Tommy knows that Michael Myers is not short and bald.
Right. He knows how tall he is at a minimum.
Does he?
Well,
he's 8 years old.
I'll tell you why, Mike, because you have 40 years later and – I'm sure there's hundreds of pictures of Michael Myers out in the real world now.
Right. There should be. But he's the one. Tommy is the one saying he always wears a mask. How are we supposed to know what he looks like?
Yeah, the internet. Well, Tommy's fucking dumb because he's
the internet. Yes.
None of that made sense because he should have gotten Lori and said, hey, is this him? And then,
I'm
going to protect you. I won't let them hurt you. He's dead.
No, that's right. The nurse was already dead at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, but I also think at that point, that the mob had lost control, and you do sort of see him realizing at some point this is a mistake. I don't know how much of the person, because like he didn't see when he's in the car, he didn't see him. You know, right. I think by the time he maybe finally did get a good look, and you do get some moments of him going, "Evil dies." Oh shit.
Well, also you have Laurie's daughter, who's kind of like a hero trying to save this guy, and then her fate at the end of the film was so stupid. It's like,
oh, I hated that.
It really was.
Well, but so here's the problem. They did have a perfect ending, and I'll disagree with Barrett. The crowd beating up on Michael Myers after they just fucked up and killed the wrong guy tells me they learned nothing, right? Hmm. Because then they just, well, let's go out and go beat up on someone else and hope we get it right this time. nobody was cowed into submission. But Karen, appropriately named, Karen comes in, kills, quote unquote, stabs him in the back with a pitchfork.
Yeah.
He's down on the ground.
Yeah.
And her thought is, now we spring the trap. No! You
now you stab have him 10 times with that goddamn
stabby, thing. Stabby, 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 stabby,
I said
stabby,
that
stabby,
while
stabby,
I was
stabby,
watching
stabby,
it.
Stabby,
I said, you can't
never let them get up. You never
keep stabbing him.
And I would understand if it was stabby, stabby. Ha ha, he's down. He's dead. Yay, I win. Woohoo! Walks away. Michael gets up. Oh, fuck. No. It's stabby, stabby. Good. He's down. I'm now going to step out in the street, and I'm going to lure him another block over to where we have set up the mob to correctly vigilante justice the right guy this time. I'm working with this mob that I stood in opposition to just 20 minutes ago.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was talking about. They wanted to make some kind of point about mob justice, but what was the point they were trying to make? You can't tell. It was not well done. Yeah,
I would have rather not known that he got back up.
He's still in the middle of the vigilante mob, who I believe still all have their weapons.
Yes.
So what are they doing? Just standing there letting him slaughter them?
Well, I think they were shocked. That would be my guess.
What are they trying to say about vigilante justice?
I have no idea, Phil.
Because if you see Osama bin Laden there and you know it's him,
I'm getting out of there because I know he got his ass killed 10 years ago.
I'm trying to make my point. We don't have to make jokes. The point is no one's going to complain if the mob goes after him and take him out. So are they trying to say, oh, that's bad? I just don't know what they're trying to say.
Well, the problem being, I remember being I'm trying to think of the right word. I remember being unsure, shall we say, or skeptical when they first passed the law that said that they were going to be able to announce when a sex offender had moved into a neighborhood.
Mm.
And right after they passed that first law, the vigilante mob rolled up and beat up the wrong guy. And that's always where the risk comes in. So those things can always get out of hand, and that's always a concern. And it's why I am personally never been a big fan of big groups of angry people. I don't care what it is that they're shouting, because it doesn't take much for it to get out of control and go in the wrong direction, whether they're all shouting Black Lives Matter, hang Mike Pence, or Yankees suck. Anything can happen when you get a bunch of angry people going and pointing in one direction.
So what are they trying to say? The same thing that we.
Oh, I think they're trying to say that
it's not right. Or
I think they're trying to say vigilant matter
anarchists or something.
That mob justice is not good except when it is.
Exactly.
Well, I think nobody in this movie could fire a gun either. I mean, they couldn't hit anything.
That is not true. First of all, there's the doctor who hit herself real good.
That's my point right there. I still have a hard time believing the physics of that, but whatever.
Yeah, that was
other. It looked cool.
But it was fun, and people laughed both times I was in the theater when that happened. This is another complaint. Why is it Michael beats the crap out of these five firefighters? And again, because they use the Hong Kong henchman technique. Yeah. But then he gets beat up by the mob. It's all good because the mob, A, there were more than five of them. B, they actually had coordinated attacks. And C, before the mob attacked him, he was shot five times by one person. So there was one person in town who knew how to use a fucking gun.
But the rest sucked.
The rest of them suck, especially Officer Hawkins.
Yes, he was worst.
Who hits one thing in the... And it's his partner. Because he thinks... Well, my partner's only covering up 98% of Michael Myers. I think I can sneak it in there.
Here's the perfect jugular shot.
I can understand if he was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm taking. If I got to kill you to get Michael, I'm doing it.
That would have been better.
I can see that. But I was like, no, hold on. Look, I can't miss every time. I missed the last five shots. This has got to be the one.
No, but
the bank shot, off your skull through Michael's ear canal.
Going in.
No, but seriously, let's talk about those flashback scenes for a minute, because they kind of annoyed me. I mean, they were kind of nostalgic. It was kind of cool in that regard. But they were retconning story to the 1978 timeline.
Yeah.
To try and make characters in this current movie seem more relevant, and I didn't appreciate it. I didn't think it added to the movie.
Well, right. First of all, showing Lonnie, who was bullying Tommy in the first film. He was one of the three kids who pushes Tommy over and breaks his pumpkin.
Oh, was he? I didn't make that connection.
Yeah. I just rewatched it. That specifically that opening scene.
Okay.
Last night and or first whatever 20 minutes of the movie, and so that's him. So they're retconning that a little bit. I don't mind what they did with it, because there were other things going on. Like, we see them go into the house, because they do mention the dead dog in the house in the original Halloween.
Right.
So they have him go into the house, and they are trying to now. How about we just say Michael has been staring out this window and looking at his reflection the entire time?
That bugged the shit out of me.
That annoyed me, because that's reading things into it and giving us a retcon motivation again, or whatever character thing for Michael that had never been there before. But I didn't necessarily mind. I don't think it was necessary. I didn't necessarily mind having a flashback to what were the cops doing at the time to help capture Michael Myers. Again, this is why I wouldn't have minded if they'd done it more as little short stories that were connected, sort of like Trick or Treat, but that also weren't necessarily meant to be one giant mush of a story, which is what this ended up as. I thought they did a really good job with the Loomis double.
I saw somebody make a really funny comment on Facebook about that, because somebody was posting a picture of the actor saying he didn't look like Loomis, and somebody else posted, well, they had a hard time with the makeup and the lighting, so they just did it over and over again and shot him six times.
but you know what, I thought it was like Star Wars, where they just use CGI with
that would way
pushing and whatever, you know.
That didn't bother me. What bothered me more is that he was upstairs trying to shoot Michael Myers and then runs downstairs to stop Dr. Loomis from shooting Michael Myers.
Yeah, that just made no sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, I can understand. Yeah. And you know what? That's a good point, because again, I don't appreciate police violence and you know, once a guy's down, you stop, but this guy just killed a cop. So it's like, or was going to kill a cop if his partner didn't shoot him.
Right. If he had simply, like, instead of killing those people, if he had simply dragged them back to the Myers house and engaged in some weird biotechnological experiments with them, then they shouldn't have shot him.
Well, because he wasn't. He was dead to rights in that movie. Here, Michael Myers had already killed a cop or participated in killing a cop and was shot six times. I shot him six times,
and he was still. Maybe he was just a really shitty shot. Who knows?
And so the point is that you had to kill him. So yeah, when the guy said, "Yeah, you can't kill him. We got to stop Loomis. You can't do this." That was kind of silly, because it's a little different. Than you know, I guess first degree murder. This wasn't that wouldn't have been considered first degree murder, in my opinion. That would have been making sure Evil is dead tonight.
Well, yeah, and I'm pretty sure that all the cops standing there besides him wouldn't have had a problem with it. You know, like the one guy was like, "Give me your gun." It was an accident. I'm sure the other guys would have been like, "Oh, well, he was lunging towards us with the knife."
Right. What should have happened is Loomis should have just shot the cop and then shot Michael Myers, because if the guy's going to tell you to stop, you just kill him. You got to take out the cop too. He's got to go.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow is right.
Take him up. He's a problem.
So there's one line that I liked in this that
hey, that cop back was already a murderer anyway. But anyway, continue. Sorry about it.
So there's a line from this one that kind of heralded back to the one before it, where he's talking about who he bought peyote from. So each of them, so the father of the one is buying peyote from him, and he's buying it from the other guy. I thought that was kind of neat.
I didn't like the intentional intent to make Lonnie so important. Because he wasn't.
It did seem weird. Yeah, it did seem weird.
Yeah.
Well, it was the whole thing of bringing back the boyfriend who they wrote out of the middle of the last movie, who is the son of Lonnie.
Well, and by the way, how the hell is he off the hook when they were just fighting?
Right. Just like instantly off the hook.
Well, you know, when somebody, when you go from like the big issue is what happens at the Halloween dance to my father has been murdered and along with 15 other people in the town. I understand that maybe now is not the time to get into the discussion about the relationship issues. They that might get put on hold. I totally, I mean, don't get me wrong. She's female. He's going to pay for that later one way or another.
Yeah.
And probably dying just spared him the worst of what was to come.
Well,
he died hard.
Well, that's another thing. That was kind of like, you know, what was the word term that you used, Eric, about
when he killed?
No. When he killed, the way he killed in this movie.
Overkill.
Cruel. Yeah, that's the word.
Cruel, yeah.
So the Cameron Elam death, that was just cruel. It was like weird.
Oh,
like,
man.
It was. I don't know. I liked Michael Myers when he was like a gangster, where you just kill him and you move on.
Yeah, I like the cruel one. I dig the cruel one.
Well, I would.
I, honestly, even though I was bummed none of the firefighters put up much of a fight, I really liked those kills. Those were pretty gnarly.
Actually, my favorite, not kill, but I guess sort of kill, was the cop in the flashback when like he just comes out of like out of the side like, you know, like a shark just out and grabs him and pins him to the wall, and he does something very similar with Lonnie Jr., whatever the fuck his name was. Mm-hmm. And you know where he just kind of blindsides him and takes him out. I thought it was a really was nicely staged.
One of the two in the LGBTQ couple, the dark haired guy.
Big John and Little John.
His killing was like
which
too. That was like
I mean, why was it so important that we knew their names? And
I don't know.
And how often, like, I can understand the like the Marco Polo thing when they're going through the house calling out to see that they're good, because obviously you split up because that is as we all know from watching Scooby Doo, the way you handle a man in a mask.
Yeah,
but
you don't have a gun. You just get out the fuck out of the house and you call the cops.
No, you get a little butter knife.
Little
butter knife.
Well, I do think that was intended to be a laugh moment, but I can understand. Like, I would have liked making a phone call and finding they couldn't get through to the cops, because I think we all understand why the cops were busy that night.
Right, and it is 2021, so they all have cell phones, and there was no cell phones.
Right.
It was like just weird.
Right, and then deciding to deal with it. Now, public service announcement, and I want to be clear that this
40 people have been killed.
That this applies to heterosexual couples as well as homosexual couples, you do not necessarily have to be married. But if you are a couple living alone in a house, and there is a serial killer of legendary status who has murdered about 38 other people that evening, also in your house,
and you don't have a gun,
get the fuck out
of the house, and you're in the house he grew up in.
That's what I was saying. It's that the moment they find out someone's in the house and they don't have a gun, you call the cops and you get the fuck out, or you get the fuck out and you call the cops. You don't. So let's search the house and try to find this bastard.
I find it hard to believe they hadn't turned it into a bed and breakfast for people to be spending,
and
$1,000 a night on Halloween.
And this is the problem about that too, is that they set it up as if it's the kids, you know, the punk kids sneaking in their house, but then they don't set it up that way, because then they have the blood. And it's like, okay, once you see the blood, you get the out. You know, yeah. So why did they even have the bratty kids do what they do, as if that's the red herring, when, of course, we know it's not, because, you know, we know it's going to be Michael Myers. So they would think it's just the kids. But the moment they see the blood, which is immediately, you know, it's not the kids.
Right.
So you get the hell out. So it was like there was no reason to have the red herring to trick the couple to stay in the house. Because they decide to show the blood immediately and the bloody handprint and all this, it's like, okay, there's something wrong here. You know, you get out of the house. You got a butter knife.
I like how he posed them. I like how he posed them just like in their picture.
Yeah, he did that.
I thought that was hilarious.
He's evolving as a serial killer.
Yeah, it's his art. He's a murderer that his murder is his art, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so I mean, as we talk about this film more and more, it's even more ridiculous. I'm thinking it's like, yeah, this.
That's
is
what I find the bigger change though is that he starts to pose them and everything. He starts doing that all over the place.
Yeah,
dragging bodies to different locations and posing them somewhere else.
Yeah, like, because he did
on
it with
the merry-go-round.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He did it with the doctor and nurse couple and his old and Loomis's nurse partner. He did that. I do have to say, I am glad that Lindsay Wallace survived. That was good because I thought they were going to kill her off too, but for some reason they decided.
I did too.
So they're probably going to bring her back in the third film.
Kill her there, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've got Hawkins survived.
Yep.
And you've got Laurie survived.
Granddaughter.
Lindsay Wallace survived.
Lindsay survived. And
it was granddaughter. The granddaughter.
And the granddaughter survived. So they'll be the ones in the next one. And I think, this is the reason they sidelined Laurie, besides the fact that they watched Prometheus and heard the complaints, is that they got to tell the story about the town, which I thought I liked. The idea of it, even if it wasn't wonderfully executed, and seeing the impact. I loved, by the way, just the one woman who was coming in looking for her son, and in the mob, when the mob's being lost to violence, she sees her son's body in the morgue. I liked that as just a little touch of, you know,
yeah,
because
that was good.
Because we do, and look, we all cheer on, most of us, the deaths in these slasher films, you know, but it's not a bad thing to go back and remind us that these fictional characters have families when the writers choose to give them families, you know, and that there are consequences for that. And that's an interesting way of looking at and exploring it. But the idea is that you sideline Laurie, let the town kind of deal with it. And now Laurie and the rest can come back, you know, in the pandemic year to fight him again and finish evil once for all.
The third pandemic.
Because apparently it's going to be updated. Apparently it's Michael's going to show just how evil he is, because in the next film he won't wear a mask. I think that's actually where they're going with that.
And he's unvaccinated probably too.
He's unvaccinated. Oh, definitely unvaccinated. because he wasn't in the if he was in the hospital, it would have been mandatory.
Right. Well, in this version of 2021, there is no pandemic or COVID.
Well, no, they said the next, because that's still the same night. This is still 2018, and they're going to fast forward to present day. They have said that they're going. The next film is going to be present day. So,
you're right. I did.
So that they can incorporate all the pandemic stuff into it.
Right. Gotcha.
I still have a problem with her stomach, though, being cut open and her even doing anything.
Well,
in Prometheus, at least it was the future. Sure.
She was clearly in pain.
Yeah, but the amount of morphine to get out of it, to be able to walk, out.
But I kind of like that it was that they did the Rambo moment. I got, you know, the Jesse Ventura. I got time to bleed, and then he goes, "Oh fuck, I'm bleeding." You know, it's just, "Oh, that hurts. Bad idea. Back in bed I go. I kind of like that. You know, right. I got a kick out of it. Again, I maybe I was weird. This is exactly kind of where I was expecting Laurie to be. Throughout the film, I was never expecting her to be the leading the charge against him. And I knew there was another movie coming, so I knew whoever was going after Michael this time was not going to win, because there's going to be another, unless it was like a surprise twist that Laurie becomes the serial killer in Halloween Ends.
You know, that would be cool.
One of the biggest
disappointments in my life, honestly, is after watching the end of Friday the 13th Part 4, the final chapter, that they did not continue the series with Tommy as the killer. That's what they should have done.
Yeah,
I agree.
Well,
I am waiting.
I have to say, I can't comment because I haven't seen any of those films.
So. I am waiting now that I am now that they've, I think they've gotten the rights secured again to Friday the 13th. And now that Halloween as the reboot has made all this shit ton of money.
Yeah, I am Jason's waiting. Coming back.
I am waiting for them to reboot Friday the 13th, saying we're going back to part four and we're doing Friday the 13th part five and starring Corey Feldman.
I could handle that. That could be pretty cool.
That works for me. That's okay.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, that's fine.
And it, and he, the only thing is it's going to be set in 1985 and he's going to be playing himself at 17.
So, anyway, back to this film here.
I got us on that tangent. And really one of my I didn't follow up on this with after my whole rant about the mob earlier is my one of my whole problems with the vigilantes in this movie is they're so ineffective. When Tommy and his little group go out, first of all they're like, "Let's stick together," and then they immediately split up. And then they're like going after Michael. They're like, "Yeah, we're gonna get Michael because he's evil." And then like Michael shows up and they're like, "Ah, holy shit, he's evil!" Yeah, what are you doing? Don't go after somebody to kill them if you freak out at the thought of killing somebody.
It would have been more realistic to me if the cops would have started shooting some of the people in the mob.
Well, see, that's like the moment in Black Summer in the diner episode where I said, "All right, you're going to go out and then you're going to hit the zombie in the back of the head." It's like, "All right, I'm going to do that. Sneak up behind the zombie and hit the zombie in the back of the head." And he runs around and goes to sneak up and goes to hit the zombie. And then the zombie turns around. And he's like, "Ah!" and runs away. Right. It just totally fucks it up. I could see that because I could understand that the reality being way more intimidating than and you being not nearly as brave as what you imagined. I could totally
understand it for like maybe one or two of the characters, but everybody except for Tommy. It's like, come on, man, what are you doing?
Well, can I just say, I just have such a weird time with that being Anthony Michael Hall. I just really do.
Yeah, he ain't the Breakfast Club anymore.
Oh my God! I mean, I thought it was. I had a hard time recognizing him when he was in Edward Scissorhands 30 years ago, and he had like gone all roidal or something. And now I'm just like, oh my God, I can't be that age. I can't be that old.
Yeah, you are.
Oh my God, no.
I like Anthony Michael Hall. I don't know. I mean, I thought he was fine as Tommy. I don't think there was any particular.
Oh yeah, I had no problem with that.
I actually thought he was great cast. I mean, that was.
Yeah, great. I like him.
I was kind of surprised.
Also, if none of you have ever watched, he was in the Dead Zone TV series as Johnny Smith. If you ever check that out, give it a watch.
Yeah, and I was surprised that they killed. To be honest, killing him off and killing Judy Greer's character off, Laurie's
daughter. The Judy Greer thing really pissed me off.
That was just kind of surprising that they killed both of them off. I was like, okay, that's
weird. Well, and it was so silly, too, the way they did it. Like, she goes up to his room to stand at his window to see what he saw. And then somehow Michael sneaks through the active fucking crime scene and sneaks up behind her.
And kills her, yeah.
Kills her. It's like, what? Get out of here.
The fact that she went off by herself like a moron. I mean, come on.
And I'm not saying this. I'm not going to say this would have been a lot better, but if they had, again, excised that whole leading him into the trap with the incompetent mob scene that she was against 5 minutes ago, she had just killed him there and for whatever reason, in a daze and shock, wandered upstairs and then turned around. Well, then Michael was already, she left down at the bottom of the stairs thinking he was dead. He was already in the house. Right. He didn't have to sneak past anybody to get there. It would have been a cleaner.
Apparently
there is a director's cut where the ending is somewhat different.
That's right, there's a whole different, and they're going to release it supposedly on disc when it comes out. That's a good point.
But then you find out that she just has a different color sweater or something, right,
but they've been making it sound like it's completely different. But let me read what Kevin Lutz said, since he won't be able to join us, it appears. He wanted to bring this point up and we can discuss it. I would like to say that the mask is some sort of talisman. They are used to store the user's power, but also used for protection. In the first movie, Myers has his mask ripped off but puts it on again before Loomis shoots him. Last movie, he is unresponsive until the mask is brought out and he looks back like it's got his attention and the other patients freak out like there's a dark power to it. He doesn't start anything until he gets that mask. This movie, Laurie's daughter rips it off and he follows her to look for it. He is surrounded and before he does anything, he puts the mask on. He gets shot, clobbered, and is thought to be dead. He's shot 6 times by Loomis in Halloween 1 and walks away. Last movie, he is run over by a car and is knocked out, but wakes up like nothing happened. I wonder if he becomes more mortal if that mask is destroyed.
Well, you know what that is, right? That is what they call the power of Shatner.
That's right, the man went to space. But
so Michael Myers wasn't powerful until he shat?
Yeah, see this is see now for me this is a minor gripe. A very minor gripe when in the this reboot is that we all know, having watched the original, that there was nothing special about that mask. He was wearing a clown mask when he killed his sister.
Mm-hmm.
See, he likes to wear a mask. Here, this was the mask he pulled out of whatever it was, the Five and Dime store. There was a shitty, bleached out William Shatner mask, Captain Kirk mask, that he puts on. It was just the nearest mask at hand. There was nothing special about that mask. It was just the first mask he grabbed.
Well, and I also just want to point out in relation to what Kevin was saying is that there are a couple of holes in that.
The eye holes he has to see.
Well, no, but in that his claim that Michael never kills till he has the mask on, it's not entirely true. In the first movie, he kills the mechanic right in the truck and takes his coveralls before he breaks into the store and steals the mask. And in the last movie, he killed the podcasters and the guy at the repair station before he got the mask back.
Because he gets it from the trunk.
Yeah.
Because they have it.
So anyway, just
maybe he could have been killed at that point, though, until he got the mask.
But he definitely likes using the mask, and he definitely feels safer with a mask on.
Right. And if they want to make this mask into a talisman or something, fine, because they've clearly made it a mystical thing or some bond with the mask, an important thing for him in this series. I just kind of wish they hadn't gone there, and I would have been interested to see like if they just had him grab a different mask. Rather than have it be the same mask, because it's Michael is what matters. It's not the mask, but the look is too iconic. And we all know Rob Zombie
mask in this movie, though.
Yes, and we all know Rob Zombie got a ton of shit because of what he did with the mask in Halloween 2. Hit the other Halloween, not the Halloween 2, the second
whatever. Halloween 2027. Good God, 2000. 7 is what I'm trying to spit out.
He made the masks a really big deal because that was one of the things that Michael was doing all while he was in there.
Makes masks in general, but not the specific.
No, but any mask he can hide behind is what it kind of goes into in that film.
And I think, honestly, if you're going in that direction, and not that he's been wandering around the world with the same mask on for 40 years, like in the other version of the franchise, because it is the most durable, shitty Five and Dime store Halloween mask ever made. Then I think he
was that made was back actually, in the '70s when they weren't worried about carcinogens.
Yes, that's true. But it's a good thing it wasn't one of those Ben Cooper masks held on with a rubber band. remember those with the vinyl costume?
Oh, absolutely.
Say, there you go. What if he'd gotten like the Ben Cooper Batman? He'd be walking around with the little vinyl Batman onesie on.
Was the Pac-Man costume out yet at that point?
No, that would have been like 2 or 3 years later. Pac-Man was 1980, I think.
Because that was sweet, the killer with a Pac-Man mask.
I actually think that was something that made sense to me with the Rob Zombie version. Again, once you're doing a clean break, you could kind of do a clean look with that mask. I don't think they needed to go with that. Now, if they had just done sort of like they did with Scream, where because there was a killer associated with that mask becomes a common mask on Halloween for everybody to sell in terrible taste, right? But it gains popularity because of its association with him, and so it makes it easy when he breaks out of the bus to find another mask, or that the doctor gave him that mask, since that's what the doctor was doing, rather than having it coming from these random podcasters, then I would have been fine with that. But we already had that Luke throws the lightsaber over his shoulder moment. I don't think people could handle Michael throwing the mask over his shoulder moment on top of that. The whole demystification of this childhood icon.
Right.
That would just break them.
Well, I am, for one, very curious to see where they're going to take this.
Yeah,
because they ended in a very interesting spot. So, yeah, I'll be curious to find out, especially if they do a jump forward in time, because I don't know. I mean, I guess if they do a jump forward in time, you kind of have to capture Michael and then he escapes again.
Yeah, Mike said that they're planning to jump it to 3 years ahead or something.
No,
yeah,
but as far as the plot goes, that you kind of have to have Michael incarcerated for that time, or else he's just
leave me alone,
killing half the country, right?
Yeah, I am curious to see where they go with that. I'm with you because I can see several scenarios, but the first thing I want you got to know is what happens to Michael on November 1st. Is he end up in custody again, or is he going wandering the countryside eating dogs for the next whatever 3 year jump or whatever it is that takes place?
I think
which they have to do to explain why the daughter, why the granddaughter is now.
I think he's going to be Bill Bixby and travel and do adventures
and Jamie Lee Curtis Jamie Lee Curtis in the role of Jack McGee.
Oh my God! That's
saying,
awesome.
Chumming around, trying to convince people that there's really this monster in coveralls traveling the countryside. And he's real, damn it. He's real. I've seen him.
Great.
That's awesome.
And I have a feeling it's going to be
a bunch of people listening to us that don't even understand what the fuck we're talking about.
They don't.
I don't. And I
bad for them.
And I think you're gonna have the oh my God, why have I blanked on her name? The Laurie Brigade and the Laurie Strode team, which is they're all gonna be. And they're all going to be in like color-coded Power Ranger outfits, chasing Michael across the country. And they'll be like the Ninja Turtles. They'll each have a signature weapon.
The real,
you know, like the granddaughter will have the pitchfork that Mom used.
The real reason Mom's upset pitchfork. That Karen was killed off in this film was because I was hoping Laurie, Karen, and Allison would become like the Charlie's Angels.
Oh, there you go.
In the next, da-da-da-da. Yeah. And then Will Patton would be with Bosley.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. We got it. We got it all.
So who's Charlie, though? Who would be the voice of Charlie?
I don't know. But we've gone silly, which usually means we're done talking about the movie.
John Carpenter.
Well, I did want to say, and I brought it up before. Oh, that's a really good one, Mike. Is that like the podcasters in the first film that you thought were going to be important characters and they just kill them off? It was the doctor and nurse couple that seemed like they were going to be really important characters and they killed them off pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of, I did like the fact that they point out the shitty little neighbor across the street, which was the kid from the last film.
Yes.
I appreciate it because he was so popular in that last film, but obviously I'm guessing he grew like a foot in the time.
Mm-hmm.
Between the movies, they did manage to squeeze his ass in there. I'd appreciate that. Maybe it'll be about him. Maybe he'll be the one to be. Michael
what was the kid?
He'll be in the talent show. Going, remember?
It was like the kid in Lost. He like grew up too quickly.
Walt.
He just wrote about
yeah,
Walt.
Yeah,
Walt. Yeah, good old Walt. Exactly. That was exactly. Yeah, something like that. All right. Now that we're talking about Charlie's Angels, Walt, and some kid from the first film. I assume that means, like Eric said, maybe we're winding down.
We're out of stuff to say, yeah.
Yeah, we'll wind it down.
Now, I'll say this. I also liked a lot of the cinematography in this. There were some wonderful shots of Michael and his mask.
It was good-looking Mooney, especially those fire scenes. Those are awesome.
Yeah, and I always hate when you see Michael and you can see Michael in the mask. And you can see his eyes. And there were a lot of really good shots here where the eyes were just blacked out in shadow. And right. A lot of good play. There were some shots where he
has dead eyes.
Yeah. There were some shots, I gotta be honest, where the mask does not look good from every angle. And there are some times, like, especially with the burned hair look, you know, it's just okay, has that Michael Jackson after the Pepsi commercial look. Doesn't quite go so well. But but there were some great shots in this. I did like the look of the film. So that's it. That's all. I think that's the only thing I think I have. Oh, and one last thing. Why was there a pumpkin in the closet?
I was wondering that too.
What closet?
When they're going through, when the granddaughter and the shitty ass boyfriend are going through the gay couple's house,
she shoots a pumpkin.
They open up. There was a fruit in the closet. They do a jump scare where they open up the closet and a pumpkin falls out at them and they attack the pumpkin.
Yeah,
I blocked it out. I don't remember that.
I didn't remember it my there. First time either because a lot of things are going on and it's a fairly generic jump scare.
Isn't that where everybody puts their fruits and vegetables in the closet?
Up in I do. Fruits. I don't know about you.
Those days are over, Phil.
I don't get it. But I will say I was glad to see Kylie Richard survive. Again, I'll say it again. That was awesome. It's good to see Paris Hilton's aunt. Yeah, Paris Hilton's aunt. So she'll be brought back, but in the next film. But I don't know. It's a movie.
That it is.
It is a movie.
It is a movie. All right. So we'll be the number one film of the year. I know some people are already like Jason Lloyd has it as the third best film of the year so far. But
I think that's insane.
Yeah. Eric, you were going to say something?
I was just saying that I'm not one of the ones that will have it number one for the year.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't even have the last one in our top 10.
I enjoyed the film. I had a good time. I have some plot issues with it. I think it's a generally well-made film, but it's not even in my top 10.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would concur with that. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it too. Yeah. I mean, I didn't like it as much as the first film, but yeah, it was good. But we'll get into our final thoughts on the film in a moment. But before we do that, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askansity Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can find it wherever you got this one.
And before we do other stuff, maybe people want to mention things they've seen or news. Do you got anything, Eric?
Yeah, let me pull up my letterbox real quick. All right. I watched a movie called Broadcast Signal Intrusion.
That sounds very Asian.
Well, it does have a couple things in it that seem Asian influenced. It's a very weird movie. It's kind of surreal. It's basically about at some point in the mid-90s that somebody broadcast a signal intrusion, which had this thing appear in a TV signal for a few seconds and then go away. And this guy starts getting obsessed with it and researching it and gets sucked into this whole conspiracy theory. I enjoyed it, but it has a very, very weird, ambiguous ending and leaves you with more questions than answers. So if that's the kind of thing that pisses you off, don't watch this one. If that's the kind of thing you're into, then check it out. I also watched a movie called Runt. Phil, don't watch this movie.
Doggy gonna live?
No. Well, that's the thing. The name of the movie is Runt, and the plot description sounds like there are these kids who get bullied and decide to fight back. So I was thinking Runt was in reference to one of the characters who fights back. No, Runt is a dog. And as soon as he called the dog Runt, I was like, oh, crap. that dog's not making it till the end of the movie. So it's fairly predictable. Like all the beats of the movie are exactly what you think they're going to be. But it was pretty well executed, so I didn't mind. And then I thought I watched something on Hulu that I wanted to mention, but I can't remember what it is at the moment. So go on to the next person.
All right, sounds good. Mike, what do you got?
Well, like the rest of the country, I watched Squid Game, which I enjoyed. Episode 6 in particular was really well crafted. The ending, okay, got some issues with it. There's some contrivances there. But yeah, I can totally see why people got hooked on it. Yeah, there's elements that are familiar to things like Battle Royale and Hunger Games and Saw, even, you know, that whole what will you do, you know, when pushed. And I kind of like that. And it invites the audience to play along. Right. And like that's how great game shows work. What would you do in that circumstance? Mm-hmm. Would you pick door number two or would you stick with the goat cheese? You know, what are you going with? And the same idea here. He's like, what, you know, who would you play with? Who would you ally yourself with? What would your tactic be? What game would you choose? All this stuff. So I liked it. I think it's fun. I think it's weird that it has caught on as it has caught on because, and this can't be emphasized enough, it's Korean. And that means that people either had to deal with really shitty dubs or they had to read subtitles. Mm-hmm. And I don't know which it was that people opted to do. But just the idea, I like the fact that maybe if there's anything good to come out of the pandemic is that people ran out of American language things to watch and had to start exposing themselves to other cultures. And maybe that's a good thing that'll come out of this. But I did like that. And then I saw No Way to Die, which is the latest James Bond movie. And I won't spoil anything if you haven't seen it. I'm mixed. I would say it's the middle of the road of the Daniel Craig films. I think there was a lot of contrived stuff in there. I thought Rami Malek was given nothing to do with the villain. They're spending a little bit too much time undoing things that maybe they got criticized for in the last film, which sounds similar to something that happened in another franchise. But there were also some good moments in it. I was kind of very lukewarm on it. But that did inspire me to go back and rewatch a few of the older Bond films, some of which I really enjoyed and some of which maybe not so much. But that's basically what I've been doing.
All right, sounds good. Barrett?
Let's see. I watched a movie on Netflix called There's Someone Inside Your House. It's kind of a slasher film.
Jason Lloyd says that's an awesome film, and that's the film that I was thinking of possibly doing an episode on.
Jason Lloyd has been very kind lately.
Yeah, that's true. But how is that, Barrett? Is it good? Is it worth an episode?
Or is Jason Lloyd full of shit like he usually is?
I wouldn't call it the most awesome film ever. I mean, it's worth watching. The end was kind of predictable to me. It's got some cool slasher moments to it. It's a slasher flick, in my opinion. And I enjoyed it. Whether it would be worth doing an episode on, I don't like making that assessment.
Okay.
Phil tries to pressure people into it while we're recording.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like somebody else to watch it and then compare notes and then say, yeah, you know, this would be worthy. But because sometimes, you know, you'll talk about it and you'll both be like, I didn't like this, and I didn't like this, and then I'll see points of why I wouldn't want to discuss it.
Well, I don't think it has to be movies that we just like, but, I mean, there are movies that we've watched, and there was, like, we had nothing to say. You know, and that's a whole, we've certainly watched bad movies that we had plenty to say about.
We definitely have stuff to say about it, I think. It's worth watching, for sure.
If it's on Netflix, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's one of the Netflix horror, you know, things that they're doing lately. I'm also watching the series I Know What You Did Last Summer, which I'm really enjoying. It's way better than I expected. It's nothing like the movie. They've added some pretty interesting plot points to it. So I think it's worth watching as a series. And then I watched Dune as well over the weekend.
All right, very good. Yeah, for me, I've watched The New England Patriots and nothing else. I don't watch.
Oh, did you watch the game where they lost to the Cowboys?
Yes.
That was awesome.
A really good game, but yes, I would think you would agree since that's your favorite team. Yeah, the Patriots have had what we call a season where they could be 5-1 or 6-1 instead of 3-4. But
they're about most teams, though.
Yeah,
people are always wondering whether it's Brady or Belichick, and I think we found the answer.
Right. Well, I don't know, but you know, Mac Jones is looking pretty awesome. But what it is
could be
is
the
they lost three games in like the last minute, and they should have won all three of those games. And so,
oh my God, you sound like a Lions fan.
Well, it was the Miami game where they fumbled it.
We don't need to do this.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't watch TV much anymore, so I don't have anything to offer. But I have played a little bit of Far Cry 6, and it's good. It's not as good as 5, 4, or 3.
Well, because there's no cultists for him to fight with.
Well, no, it's unfortunately it's going with the new game, the new system, which is if you shoot somebody, they can survive. Well, you know, in all the older versions, if you shoot them, they're dead. Here, it's more like
not always. You had to shoot them good.
No, but
this be a better shot, Phil.
No, this no. But the point is that, you know, the post-apocalypse of Far Cry 5, Mike, where they changed the thing where you have to really gun down people continuously. They've gone that route into this game now. So the stealth in this game is a little more difficult than we're used to. So that is unfortunate. And another thing that is that your companions are pre-chosen for you. Well, in the fifth one, when you had your companions, you could pick
random
people. Okay. That was pretty awesome. So it's a little more convoluted, I feel, too. So I'm not as big of a fan in this one as I am in the last three, but I'll keep on playing to see.
Beware of the changing game mechanic, because you can ruin what worked.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so I'm a little bit disappointed in Far Cry 6 at the moment, but we'll see. We'll see. And I'm not really playing video games much anymore either, so it's not like I'm playing it. I mean, if this was like Far Cry 5, I probably would have been addicted to it and continue almost, you know, to 2 a.m. in the morning. But it's not. So I'll continue and give updates as I go. So that's all I got.
I remembered the thing.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
I watched a series on Hulu called The Premise, and this is very important to Phil. And you know why, Phil? It was created, written, and directed by BJ Novak.
BJ Novak.
Do you know where he's from?
I know that name.
Where is he? What show is he from? That's very important to you, Phil.
Ozark?
No, he's in The Office, man. He's Ryan.
Oh, Dovey. Ryan. Yeah.
Okay. So he created this show called The Premise, and it's 5 episodes, and each one is a completely different story. Some of them are serious, some of them are completely ridiculous, and some of them are a combination.
Is he in it too?
I was entertained, so I would recommend it.
Is he acting it too, or?
No, he does like a little like Rod Serling kind of intro, and then everybody else is in the show.
So it's not horror though, right? It's not genre.
Oh, no.
Okay, gotcha.
But I just wanted to mention it to you because of the Office connection. I know that's very important to you.
Now,
I don't understand how I figured out it was from The Office. I don't even know who the hell this person is.
Ryan. He just knows you.
So there is a couple of things that I haven't seen, but a neighbor of mine has talked about it. So she's from South Korea originally. And so, you know, I talk obviously about Squid Game with her, even though I haven't seen the show, and she liked it. But oddly, she likes, and she's seen you season 3, and she likes Fast 2. because she's really into like all the Netflix stuff and all that. And but she says it's a really good show from Denver on Netflix called Chestnut Men.
And oh, I scrolled by that one day.
Yeah, and she says really good. So if you like serial killer police types of stuff.
Cool. Maybe I'll check that out because it caught my eye for a moment.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to probably check that one out too because the Europeans, they have shorter seasons, you know, similar to like that Ryan show where there's like five short episodes. So I'm going to check that out. And she really highly recommended it. So Chestnut Men on Netflix is a recommendation by someone that is usually right when I talk to her. And she,
cool.
You know, she put it this way. She came out and we were talking about Train to Busan and she goes, yeah, the second one sucks. She don't want to see that one. So, okay. Yeah, so she's
legit. She was right.
She knows her stuff.
Yeah, kind of.
So, yeah. So, check that out. And another big show on Netflix is You, season 3. Everybody knows about that coming out. That came out. And that's about it. So, yeah, that's all I got. All right. So, now, next week, Mike. I'm sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, next week, me, Mike, and Eric, after talking about the movie we're going to talk about next week, we're going to set up a time to do another podcast that me, you, and Eric do. Mike, what is that called?
The podcast is called Cinema a la Carte, and it's where we discuss non-dark discussion-y movies, even if they're sometimes still a little dark discussion-y. because we are who we are, but it's basically we look at movies from other genres, even if they're adjacent ones. And we each take turns picking a film. The most recent one to drop was mine, which was Flash Gordon. And
actually, by the time people hear this, which is coming out Monday or Tuesday, I think it's Monday, A History of Violence will be already released.
Which was a Phil pick. And before that, what was the last Eric pick? Was that
Jack Reacher.
Oh, Jack Reacher, right.
That was Jack Reacher, was it? Okay, because it seems like we talked about that like 3 years ago.
Which
it was a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, I released, History of Violence or Flash. No, Flash Gordon, I think, or it was History of Violence. I'm wishing Mike a happy birthday, and it's his last year's birthday.
So. My 50th birthday? Wow.
Yeah, so we recorded a long time ago. It was been sitting in the queue for a while there, yeah.
And we mentioned the date.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then we recorded History of Violence after that. This was basically a thing for us to do in between the cracks when we had nothing, when we had no other podcasts or other projects going on. And then some people started mainlining podcasting like it was pure heroin from the Ozarks. So we haven't gotten time and there was this whole thing that you may have heard about in the news about like the pandemic and that fucked everybody up too.
Oh, we can't use that as an excuse. We're all in different states.
No, that was certainly a thing that had to do with me because it made my life a lot harder. It made my work a lot busier.
Mm. Yeah, because we were doing an episode a month for a while there and then Mike's work got hammered because of the COVID. And okay. That's when we put it on hiatus.
Everybody else started podcasting because they were at home and had nothing else to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. And because then me and Barrett and Kevin did the Nevers and we were doing the Stand. And then we did
You guys just started doing everything on Monday night, so we couldn't do Cinema a la Carte on Monday anymore.
Yeah, yeah, and we did another one, too. What was the other one?
Lovecraft Country?
Yeah, we did that one at the end of last year. And then we did...
The Discovery of Witches.
Discovery of Witches, yeah. So we had, there was, four TV podcasts. Oh, and then we did The Undoing as well. So there was, five TV podcasts that were done between October to, April.
To your podcast about The Stand. Is that any good?
Oh, don't be wise. the podcast is
I am curious if Eric, have you watched it?
I have not.
Okay.
It's on a streaming service that I don't have.
Okay. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was, I don't see why Phil thinks it's the worst thing ever. Oh,
It is the worst thing ever.
That's right. It's dark.
I think you need to watch it in the mist.
I've seen Godzilla's Revenge.
I've seen Freddy's Dead. I've seen The Gallows. All of which are way worse.
Those are only an hour and a half.
Yeah,
The Stand was 10 episodes of shit.
Yeah.
I still think you need to watch the season of The Mist and The Stand back to back to make sure which one's worse.
No.
I can't ever do that again, Eric. It's terrible.
Without stopping. All the way through both series.
To be honest, you can probably throw in American Gods season 3, was it? Or 2?
2. We didn't watch 3.
Yeah, and then Lovecraft Country. Oh, that was rotten. Oh, my God. There's so much crap. Oh, my God. You know, even The Nevers was just so-so. It's like, God damn it.
Let you learn a lesson from this, which is that you probably should dedicate yourself to a series-long podcast before you know if you'd like it or not.
You know what? It's my fault because I had two shows, The Nevers and that Kate Winslet show. And for some reason, I chose The Nevers when the Kate Winslet show would have been friggin' awesome to do a podcast on. It's my fault, Barrett. I apologize.
Well, and you start doing shows like Lovecraft Country and American Gods without knowing what they were.
Right. But the names, you know.
No. You can't go by the name. Don't go by the names at the same time and then ignore and say, and trailers suck, and then complain because you didn't know what the show was.
I went by the trailers on Lovecraft Country, and it still wasn't as good as I had hoped. So.
No, and I understand that, and it wasn't as good as I would have liked, too. But I think there were other things about that I could tell from the beginning were going to rankle Phil.
Yes. No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? I don't, and I said this even before we started the episode, and Eric ragged on me about it, which is I don't like my fantasy in my horror. I just don't like it because we were talking about Del Toro before this episode started. And so in Lovecraft Country, politics be damned, it was just all that crap. And it's like, and even The Nevers was like that. It's like, Jesus.
So you were expecting something called Lovecraft Country do not have any supernatural elements?
No, fantasy elements. I was expecting all horror. I was thinking gruesome horror.
A lot of people mix those up.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate.
Well, no, like there's the one, I think it was episode 7 or 8 with Ornithia Blue or something like that. The space one. The spacey one, which I enjoyed a lot, but it was definitely much more pulpy science fiction pulp rather than horror.
Horror.
Cthulhu's kind of both anyway, so
this was like amazing fantasy pulp, not
I was thinking, you know, having read all of Lovecraft stuff, I was thinking it was going to be Lovecraft stuff, you know, and it was fantasy.
You're just a grumpy old man, Phil.
Yeah, that's why I don't watch TV anymore. I don't watch it. Just don't do it. I don't. The only time I ever watch television now is for the podcast.
You've been burned too many times.
Exactly.
I definitely recommend you try Squid Game. This is one case where I think that it's worthwhile.
Starting to sound old. I know.
I'll do Squid Game, and I'll probably do Chestnut Man.
Well, but you got to remember, Phil jumped really late on The Office, so.
In
5 years, he'll start talking
seven
about
years
this
to get him to watch The Office, and now we won't shut up about it.
Right. So 2025, he's going to be talking about licking the honeycomb.
What's the honeycomb, man?
That's the point. See.
But what show is that from?
That's from Squid Game.
I'm doing Rick and Morty now. I'm watching that over and over right now.
Also, 5 years later, when a lot of people are under the impression that may have jumped the shark.
Well, I haven't seen.
You know what? I got to stick up for Phil on this one. I often come to things later than a lot of people and end up enjoying them. So,
no, there's nothing wrong with that. I guess that's kind of the problem, right? It's like you're it's new to you, it's old to everybody else, and nobody wants to talk about it anymore.
Right. It's like somebody getting the Game of Thrones right now.
Right.
Oh, that show's great. Yeah, I think that show.
Most people don't want to talk about it anymore. Yeah, you're the only
and
one.
I'm still buying shirts.
You and Sean Fox can go talk about it.
Yeah, I just bought a Cersei shirt and a Sansa shirt just this past month. So
send pictures to Sean.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've already posted.
And they have put out a trailer for the spinoff.
That's true. Jesus. That's going to be awesome. I'm, that's a show I'm watching.
I don't know why you think it's going to be awesome.
Well, I have this
time. I met up with you, Phil, and you, Mike, in Massachusetts. And I was staying at my brother's house when he still lived there, reading the fifth Game of Thrones book while I was there. And
how is the sixth book? Is any good?
That's a great question. How is this? Oh, the sixth book hasn't been published yet. 8 years later.
Well, it's because he's working so hard on that TV series.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's been off the air for, 2 years, 3 years now?
He did write the history
thing that nobody wanted and
Westeros.
Had the sixth book?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I'm not...
because everyone wanted the prequel before the current series is done.
Yeah. Oh, it's weird. And, yeah, and the thing is that the series I really wanted to see was the one they canceled, because that was the one that was about the Starks' origination and the Night King origination, all that, and the wall being built. And then for some reason they canceled it. I was like, God damn it! And now we're stuck with the Targaryens.
Well, they can't. They made three pilots or something, or like they pitched it and they decided that's not the one they want to do for whatever reason.
I don't get it. That would have been the best one.
I'm thinking that they looked at it and said, what did people really like? The dragons. What's the show that we could do that would have the most dragons? The dragon one. Make that one.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah.
That's my guess. I suspect now, or I mean, for all we know, like whatever the one that they made might have just sucked because we may like the idea.
Yeah.
But then.
Yeah,
you know,
because it had Naomi Watts, right? She was linked. She was going to be the lead or one of the leads, too. So it wasn't like.
Yeah, but she could have been terribly miscast. Or maybe she was great, but the writing sucked. You know, these things are hard to predict.
Yeah. Or it just didn't have enough dragons.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's like an entire Star Wars series that's been scripted that's never been filmed. That George Lucas and a bunch of writers wrote it, and I think back in the 90s, and Lucas wanted it all plotted out for like two seasons and written. The scripts are written, but they didn't. But they were trying, like, waiting for the technology to catch up to be able to film it and finding the right venue to film it. And then he sold it off, and like the time just passed, and now you have this. Thing about the mob. It was like this dark underground thing and about the mob in Star Wars, like the crime bosses in Star Wars, and it's gone and it's, nobody knows what to do with it.
How did we get onto Star Wars?
I'm just saying, it's just this thing. It's there. Why hasn't it happened?
I was thinking the same
there's weird. Star. There's weird timing things, and there's and so that's going to be like. Imagine if this. Maybe this Game of Thrones thing suck and everyone's going to go and they never do another Game of Thrones thing again. And everyone's going to be left wondering, what if they had done the wall? What if they had done that that story instead?
And the Night King origin and the
Star Wars. Already sort of does that.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, they were going to like do it. It was going to be like 1,000 years before Game of Thrones type of thing. I guess. Mm-hmm. But again, the Targaryen one, too.
Still not interested.
Well. You probably maybe in a minority, I guess.
Well, I see. My concern with that is that the audience was so turned off by the last season.
Oh, can we wrap this up?
I don't know if they have the fan base anymore.
Right. I love that last season episode, except when Cersei's dead. That sucked. But actually, no. Even that the bald guy too. That sucked when he got killed. Yeah, but that was awesome. It was I liked it, but that was me.
Been over 3 years.
Yeah, it's just, all right. So anyway, I guess we can get into our final thoughts on this film here. So Eric, what do you got?
I liked this movie. I didn't love it. I thought it was skillfully made. It looked good. It was well acted. I had some issues with the plot, but I'll still show up for Halloween Ends to see how it all ties up.
All right, sounds good. For me, I will just ditto Eric. Mike.
Yeah, it was fun, and that's all I ask. There were silly moments in it. There were some ridiculous things. Again, it's par for the course with the genre. I still say that, yes, there were plotting elements, problems with it. There were script problems with it. But the story generally was a sound idea that lacked in execution. I thought it was a more solid story generally than the kind of convoluted thing they came up for the last Halloween film. I am looking forward to the next one. And if that ends up being the last one until the next movie called Halloween comes along, I'll be fine with that.
Barrett.
There were things I liked, things I didn't like. Generally, I liked the movie. Overall, I really liked the kills. That was the best part for me. And the last,
that's the title of the movie.
Yeah. There's the last 5 or 10 minutes I really didn't enjoy as much, especially the very end. But yeah, it's worth seeing, and I'm definitely going to see the next one.
All right, sounds good. So once again, the film is Halloween Kills, and you can find it right now on Peacock. If you subscribe to Peacock, whether it's the $4.99 version or the $10 version, it is free, and it is commercial-free, even if no matter which version you get it. So it's there, and it's right now it's also at theaters.
Just a slight correction. I just know this from listening to the film cast that you need the higher the paid version of Peacock to see it.
They are wrong.
Somebody on that show had the free version of Peacock and could not access it.
No. For $4.99, you can do. No, there's three versions. There's the free version. There's the $4.99 version, which you're forced to watch commercials, and then there's the $10 version. Both the $10 and the $4.99 version, you can watch it.
Wait, they make you watch commercials in a paid version?
No. They, what it is
yes. Peak. Yes, you just said so.
No, could I explain?
$4.89 with commercials.
Could I explain? Jesus Christ. But what happens is, for this film here, they don't have commercials in it, because what it is they say at the beginning, this film is brought to you by State Farm or something like that.
Okay.
And then after that,
bum, 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 bum.
You get to watch it free without any commercials, unlike their, you know, like The Office.
Where does it work that way for everything or just for that movie?
Just for certain movies. So
okay, so in general, you still have to watch commercials on that paid version of the service.
For the television shows, for sure.
Yeah, that's still bullshit. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, but for the movies, they're usually quote-unquote sponsored. So.
Okay, I didn't realize there were two levels of pay. I was just trying to make sure that people with the free one realized they wouldn't be able to get it.
Yes, correct. And that's what Mike said, I think. He has the – so you can't see it. That's where you can find it, at the theaters right now or on Peacock, as long as you pay for one of the two paid versions. And with all that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us up?
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Let's talk about Halloween Kills. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.
You said Peacock.